In an effort to reach greater heights or achieve dreams, have you ever taken things too seriously? Today, we're talking about play and how small acts of spontaneous play can boost well-being and performance and actually help us overcome common barriers. Welcome to the Sonia Looney Show. This is a podcast about high performance and well-being, and I am your host, Sonia. I am finishing up my Master of Applied Positive Psychology. I am a world champion mountain biker, and I do lots of other great things like mental performance coaching, health and wellness coaching, and public speaking. And I'm so excited that you are here today to join us. I sat down with Dr. Elaine O'Brien to explore the significance of play in our adult lives. Have you ever heard the quote, "Take your work seriously, but don't take yourself seriously"? Well, I'd like to add on to that, that you also don't need to take the work so seriously either. As a pro mountain biker, you might think that on the start line, I have a ferocious, serious start face, or in the race, I am so focused that I am not playing. But that's wrong. I would say one of my strengths as an athlete is that I play whenever I'm working. I can have a smile at the start line. I can be singing fun songs and yipping and hollering on my bike when I'm racing. You can still find play even in your work. Elaine is a PhD and expert in the fields of positive psychology and kinesiology. She shares the countless benefits of play and practical tips for incorporating more joy into our daily lives. And we know it's hard to lean in. It's hard to make time to play. Judgment, seriousness, or the perception of not having enough time or creativity abound. These constraints hold us back from embracing playfulness. A lot of times we have simply forgotten how to play. That has been one of the major benefits of having little kids is that they are always playing. That is how they learn. And that's helped me be more creative about play in my own life. In fact, in my daughter's gymnastics class, she's two, so you can imagine it's more like herding cats. But in her gymnastics class, I realized today that I was the only parent who was doing somersaults and playing on the bars with the kids. And I'm excited about that. I'm excited to keep working on my own play in my own life. We learn about Elaine's research on using movement and dance programs to promote well-being among older adults, and it's truly fascinating how something as simple as play can have such profound effects on our overall health and happiness. In fact, on my intake form for my health and wellness coaching, one of the questions is, when was the last time that you played and had fun? I was particularly excited to chat with Elaine because we both share a passion for the Master of Applied Positive Psychology program. In fact, she was one of the first 100 graduates of the program at the University of Pennsylvania. It was inspiring to learn about her journey in the field and her passion for positive movement and mental health. Elaine is one of the most amazing people that I have ever spoken with. She is so affirming, and you can feel her kindness and her enthusiasm. I am just finishing up my very last week of classes in my Master of Applied Positive Psychology program. It's hard to believe that that part of my journey is almost over. I only have two more final papers to write, and I've learned so much. I cannot wait to share it with you. I can't wait for what we have ahead of us with this podcast and with my newsletter. You can sign up for it at sonialooney.com/newsletter. And I have an amazing team behind me to help support this growth of the show, the team at Palm Tree Podco. After you finish listening to today's podcast, I would love to hear how you are planning to incorporate play and what type of play you are going to incorporate in your day. Feel free to leave it as a comment for the podcast itself on your favorite podcast player, or shoot us a message on social media. So whether you're looking to add a bit more fun to your daily grind or are simply curious about the science behind play, this episode is for you. Let's rediscover the joy of play together. Elaine, we were just saying that we're map sisters, so it's so exciting to get to sit down with you and have a discussion around things that we love.
Oh my gosh, it is such a pleasure and joy to meet you, Sonia, and to share. And boy, map was something, wasn't it? What an experience.
Yeah, I'm still in it. I'm just finishing up my coursework, and then I have my capstone this summer. So yeah, I'm in it.
You are in it for sure. And I think that one of the most exciting parts of it is, besides like the great level of teachers that we get to learn from, is that the connection continues among like great people like you. So can I ask what you're writing your capstone about?
Yeah. So my capstone is assessing if perfectionists think about purpose and meaning in their accomplishments, because A lot of us are looking at our accomplishments as an outcome that we need to get to, as a way to feel validated in some way, as a contingency of self-worth. And whenever people consider purpose in their accomplishment, it takes the pressure off of the outcome, and it helps people find a better sense of accomplishment that isn't just about evaluation.
How powerful, meaningful, and far-reaching in terms of athletic prowess and your mindset as an athlete, and just like motivation and just being able to savor all that goodness. I love that. I can't wait to read it, Sonia.
I'm excited to write it.
Well, I'm here for you if you need anything. But again, with your endurance, athleticism, and championing, it's like what a great contribution this is going to make to the MAP field, sports medicine, science of athletics, and movement. So yay.
Thank you. So let's hear about you. Like, let's hear about your background. It's hard as a host, because whenever you come into these interviews, you know a lot about the guests, but the audience doesn't. So it's always a dance of not telling somebody's story for them, but also asking the right questions. So I'm not sure where you want to start with where you've come from to get to today and how you want to format that story, but we'd love to hear, you know, your story of how you got to where you are sitting right in front of me.
Oh, wow. And again, what a treat. So I guess from MAP, MAP kind of saved my life. I was one of the first 100 people in the class. And again, the science of flourishing, well-being, and happiness, right? Focusing on what's strong instead of what's wrong in the world really meant a lot. And I graduated in 2008, and I wrote about positive movement interventions for the greater good. And I know that's something that you and I share around nutrition and movement. So that's like, again, another beautiful connection in a field that there's not a whole lot of people yet that are in like this area of the body and movement, although I think it's starting to really grow, which is very exciting. But right after MAP, I had a chance to present at a conference, the Association for Applied Sports Psychology, with Gloria Park. Dr. Gloria Park had invited me to present, and she got to go to Korea and asked if we would hold the fort. So Dr. Michael Sachs, Emeritus Professor of Kinesiology at Temple University, was our officiant. And our moderator, and officiants when you get married, right? But he was our moderator for our panel. And after I spoke, he invited me to apply to Temple University. So I was so blessed to get in. I actually had to take the GRE. I'm an older woman, and I hadn't had the new MAP. So that was quite a challenge. But I graduated with a degree in kinesiology in 2015 with a specialization in human movement psychology. So that was kind of really exciting, because one of the things I wanted to do is validate around the power of positive movement, because previously I'd been a fitness dance instructor for decades. I had taught all different kinds of fitness, and including water fitness, which I absolutely love, and I'm writing about right now. But I could see that if you invited people into a program, made it challenging, but and always safe and effective, and encouraged them, connected them, and left them wanting more, you would get great following, right? You would get great adherence to the program. So what I actually did was I wrote about this program I designed in 1991 to reduce the risk of alcoholism and drug abuse in adults and seniors. And what my idea was to put together a dance fitness program with those models of, you know, connection and fun and just like movement, like that is rhythmic and aerobic. So what happened was we ran the program up until the pandemic. And in my study, we found people who had attended this class, which met four times a week, at least twice a week or more, for 5 years or more. And we had over 60 people, which is pretty exciting in terms of adherence to like a 1 hour dance fitness program that, again, combines cardiovascular, rhythmic movement, dance, strength training, flexibility training, balance training, agility, and again, that social fitness component. So that was like very exciting to be able to find the results, which demonstrated that these people, these women, had a very high level of well-being. And then Caroline Miller, who I was coaching with, recognized that there was also a legacy effect, that the families of the children were also doing quite well because we also surveyed the children of the mothers who had participated in the class. So it was kind of a long story, but I started teaching aerobics. Like, very luckily, I was in a master's program back in the day at the beginning of the aerobics movement, and I auditioned, and I was like the worst person, the most out of shape, the most uncoordinated and unfit. And these people, Dennis and Jackie Rogers, who were with the Imperial Society of Ballroom Dance, they thought I had a nice personality, so they gave me a shot. So I worked really hard. And again, it was something that dropped out of school. I went back 34 years later to Penn, where you are now. And it just like changed my life to be able to be in different dimensions of the fitness industry, including 10 years with the National Aerobics Championship as a U.S. head judge, coach, and trainer. So that's kind of my life story around, yeah.
Wow. I just have goosebumps listening to this. You have so much courage to, I've heard a theme of courage throughout your entire story. Like, first you talked about, you talked about going to math, but you talked about signing, you know, going to get a PhD at Temple University and having to take the GRE. And there's all these reasons why you could have said, well, no, I can't do that, or whatever barriers you could put up. And then you talked about how you, you said you were the most out of shape person to go into this aerobics audition, and you did it anyway. And what a beautiful thing to be able to do that over and over, to set the example for others and to bring that into the work that you do. Because I'm sure that thread comes through whenever you're helping other people face a challenge that maybe they've never done before.
Well, that's really kind for you to say. I think that I feel like if I could do it, anybody could do it. And I think being like a really person who movement didn't come naturally to, like, I had to work really hard at it. It made me a better teacher because I was able to help people who were like me, that, you know, maybe they didn't grow up doing dance or sports. So it was, yeah. Thank you very much. That's so nice for you to say that I'm brave and right back at you.
And, you know, something else that I was hearing is that you make it fun, like through this, is it the Move to Love program? Is that what you were? Because I saw you published a study about that.
Yes, I did. I published a study in the Journal of Women and Women and Psychology, and for the American Psychological Association. And that's what I wrote about, this Move to Love program. And that was prior to the doctoral research, which took it a little bit longer and wider. But again, it was a cohort of women. I believe they were aged 50 to like 80s. And they were just remarkable in terms of, again, like, were they motivated to participate, or did, you know, what was it? But they were just an extraordinary cohort who would run for the arts, race for the cure, build a library in a building where, you know, so people could have more access to books and education. So it's just very inspiring. And it's really heartwarming to me that even though it broke my heart to have to stop for the pandemic, as we all had to make these shifts, that a core of the women in the group still get together every month for birthday parties. And yeah. They do outings, and it's just so exciting. And they invited me a couple times to go. I think I have an open invitation, but it's just like, talk about joy that, you know, here are people of a certain age and, you know, just always felt like role models. And it's funny, I'm giving a talk on Wednesday for the University Women's Association. And I'm going to talk about one of my favorite students was this woman, Mom Marie. And we called her Mom because her daughter was Marie, who was also in the class. And this was at a senior center, and Mom Marie took my class starting at age 89.
Wow.
And she was a former Rosie the Riveter. And she was just this force that people would just gravitate toward her. And she stayed in my program till age 101, like, wow, with weights and doing chair dancing and stretching. And it's just so inspiring. And it was funny because she was so much fun, Sonia. She would just like she would knit and she would always give people compliments and notice things that people are doing right and just so loving and warm. And I was talking to my husband about it last night, about Mom Marie, and he said, yeah, she had the best 100th birthday party and they had martinis. And even though she wasn't drinking them, she would eat the olives. But it was something to be able to just like cherish. And, you know, again, like when you're catching people doing something right, it really lifts you up too. And it's that cycle of goodness and positivity upward.
Yeah, this makes me think a lot about, instead of focusing on the barriers, focusing on what you can do, because I especially think that, you know, I've heard this as a mountain biker, people tell me I'm too old to do that. And sometimes they're my age, they're 40. And I think like, well, you know, there's a lot of things that we think that we can't do. And we focus on all the reasons why, you know, it's too scary, I'm not in shape enough. But like, we don't spend time considering all the reasons why maybe we can do it, or what we also might benefit from it other than just the physical piece. Like what you were saying is, it's not just about the movement, it's about play. It's about a sense of community and a place to belong, and having your people around you.
Yeah, I think that's such a good point that even in our book, The Power of Play, we talk about barriers, but I like how you reframed it. But I think that there's more valence around like the negative, right? That negativity bias, we kind of get attracted to it. So it's really brilliant for you to talk about that, to just say like, why do we talk about the barriers? And can I just make a correction? So the journal for the American Psychological Association was the Journal of Women in Therapy.
So okay.
That. Correct.
Thank you. And we can put a link to that in the show notes if people want to check it out.
Beautiful. Thank you.
So in terms of positive movement, you know, play is a big part of your book, and play is such an important part of our adult lives that we often forget about because we start taking ourselves too seriously. We're worried about what other people think. We're worried about failing. We're worried we're going to hurt ourselves. So how can people add more joy, fun, and play into their lives if they have habitually for years, you know, had all of these concerns that they've been focused on and have forgotten how to have fun?
That's the question of the year. I mean, that is such the point that as children, we play and it's so natural, it's organic, it's a way to learn, express, to grow and develop, right, as people and as loving and around trust. And then we get to a point where it seems for many of us that it just goes out the window. So it's almost like I have a colleague friend who is an executive with the AARP, the for older adults, right? She's a nurse and executive. And she was saying how she loves our book because a lot of times people say, quit playing, you know, but like that's when all the juices and creativity and other skill sets and strengths can occur. So just, I think a couple things are to be more mindful of it, to put it on your calendar, right? To just make a date for yourself, to have some fun, to do it with a friend is always good. And again, to just like kind of reframe around how much are you playing? Have you thought about play and all the different types of things to do? And again, one thing with the book I'm really proud of is that we have hundreds of ideas across domains, from cleaning your closet to being out in nature to intimacy with your partner and, you know, having party time and just different celebrations. So I think that, again, taking play seriously, maybe like that you can evaluate and know that when you aren't playful, it can really like wreak havoc on your emotional life, can cause you to be more depressed. You could be more isolated. So I think playfulness, it does really matter.
Yeah, there's a lightness that comes with that. And I love how you have all of these different domains, and you have, is it the fun tracker that people can download the link? And it provides different areas. So like having multiple domains for people, because I think a lot of people think, well, it has to just be like, I go and actually, you know, to a song, or I have to go to a playground or whatever, but there's so many different ways that people can have fun and they can play and they can learn to be like, oh, like I can even feel my body react in a positive way when I see play. I feel like effervescence in my body.
Yeah, I know we were saying earlier, like about kids and puppies. It's just like, so it's really engaging. And it's just like something we can learn from them as well, right? Just in terms of that lightness of heart. And I think that the play play, the Fun Tracker, PowerPlay Fun Tracker is free. And I love that because it's a lot of excerpts from the book that people can try, like you said, across domains. And I just think that it really is surprising that there are so many different ways to get a play mindset. You know, again, just to kind of like lighten up, like you said, is so valuable.
Yeah, I love the quote, you know, take your work seriously without taking yourself seriously. And I think about that a lot. Like for me, you know, I'm a pro mountain biker. I race a lot. Of course, you know, it's a highly competitive environment, but I always try and smile at the start line because that sets the tone for the race for me. Instead of being tight and nervous and like looking at everybody like my enemy, it's like, here we are, like, let's go have a fun adventure, like a tone of exploration and fun. Because if you like, you can choose how you want to show up that day. And, you know, another intervention I like to do is like when I see a ridiculous hill and I see like people are just ants going up the side, I actually laugh at it, like laughing at the absurdity of what you're doing instead of letting yourself get bogged down by how hard it's going to be or how you wish you were further ahead or that type of thing.
I love that, Sonia. I think that's the title of your book, Smile at the Start Line.
Oh. That is a good title.
It's a great title. I'll send it to you.
I like it. Getting a free coaching session here. This is amazing.
Well, I'm so inspired by even that story. It's like, it's amazing. The most endurance thing I ever did was the Dublin Marathon. And I just did a post about this, how I kind of like, I didn't want to get injured. I'm not really like, I did it as a, to join a team for the Arthritis Foundation. And it was really fun, but I kind of power walked and ran, and my dissertation is I got to see a lot of the sights, you know, in Dublin, but and the people cheering to take it all in and savoring right the moment, which is what you're talking about, but like at a more champion like way, which is just so awesome what you do. It's very very inspiring.
Thank you. So you know, humor in the character strengths, let's talk about character strengths for one. Can you tell everybody what that is? And then about the humor and playfulness character strength.
Oh yes. The character strengths is one of my favorite parts of the Science of Positive Psychology. It's a foundational piece and you can like jump in if you like, I know you're studying it right now. But Peterson and Seligman founded this idea of virtues and character strengths, and they looked across cultures, across literature, across time, and found ubiquitous qualities that people demonstrated around excellence and goodness. So the character strengths are among six virtues and 24 character strengths. And one of the groups of virtues is around transcendence. And I feel like it may be all the strengths are so equal and they're so beautiful. And I encourage everybody to take a look at the VIA character strengths inventory. But transcendence, the highest strength in the purple, usually humor is among those strengths, along with hope, appreciation of beauty and excellence, gratitude, spirituality. And I feel like there's one other one. But I mean, to me, that's so exciting because I think a lot of times we don't take humor seriously. It's not like a priority. But again, I know one thing I wanted to say is like around play, that there is like a time and place, right? And it should be like there are like different ways to play that are more like, you know, it's good to have a lot of joy around you. But our MAP sister, Catherine Britton, who is in the first MAP class, who's just does so much good for our community, is also my writing workshop coach. And we were talking about how she, we've been together for 4 years. It's been so exciting. She's a fantastic coach and trainer. And what she was talking about, she's a former engineer, I believe at IBM. And she said they'd have these play times and she'd be like at work and all of a sudden the Nerf balls be flying by her head. And she didn't really appreciate that. So again, it's just like, that might be like a silly example, but it's just like there is a place, you know, like when you want to play and just know, right? I think around the mindfulness, right? And the respect and just like to know that joy is really important, but to value other people's feelings as well. and hopefully you'll lift them up with some fun.
Yeah. And I guess I should do a solo episode just talking about character strengths, because I think that'd be helpful for everybody. But what you're talking about is like the overuse of a strength. And a lot of times people think, well, I have this strength, I'm just going to use it all the time. But there are certain times it might not be appropriate. Like if humor is a strength, and then you're making jokes in places where maybe it's not time to make a joke, or you're playing in a time where maybe it's not really appropriate. So yeah, there's nuance there of when is it appropriate to be playful and when do you need to be a little bit more, you know, serious, I guess.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. And I think that's a great idea about the character strengths, because there is so much to say, and just it's a very, very, I think it's so important. I think that to me, it's life changing. And when we blend like movement with character strengths, I'm working actually on this program right now called Strengths 24. It's 24 character strengths, and then using like the strengths, our physical strengths, to blend those together.
Oh, cool.
Really, really coach and lead people to greater well-being physically, socially, emotionally, psychologically, and just like help people lift them up.
So sometimes whenever I think about play, like this is just one domain. So I have a 2 and a 4-year-old, you know, my son loves imaginative play and it's amazing. And we have this amazing nanny and her name's Maria, and she's so playful. Like if I had to pick one word to describe her, that would be the word. And sometimes I think to myself, gosh, I wish I could be as creative as her in my imaginative play. And then it made me start thinking about just play in general and how people might think, well, I'm just not creative enough to be playful in my life in general. So like, how correlated is creativity with playfulness, and how can people increase their creativity around play?
Yeah, I think, again, it's around that mindset to be able to believe that you can do this. And I think, you know, certain things like to create happy habits, it does take time. It takes mindfulness. It takes energy. And, you know, like things like getting out in nature and playing with your kids. I know you said you were on the seesaw with your kids before, and they're gorgeous. They're really adorable.
Thank you.
And so I think that, you know, like that's one way that you're like, look at what you are doing well. And then even if you start like drawing or finding different things to do that are artistic or that are more entertaining or more, again, physical, you can like, or, you know, even making cleaning the house like a fun thing. You know, we have some things in the book about that. So around creativity, I think that it's like a sweet spot, right? For both, right? Because I think play leads to creativity and creativity leads to play.
You know, something I was also thinking about. So right now in MAP, there's a class we're taking called Positive Humanities. And I think it's like a newer field within positive psychology. But part of it is that we have to, for experiential assignments, we had to write something. We had to create a visual work of art. Like we had to create our own humanities-based like pieces of work. And I noticed that for some of us, myself included, the judgment can get in the way, right? Like, well, this isn't any good. Like I'm drawing, but this isn't any good. Or, you know, I'm writing this thing and the self-critical voice becomes very loud. And then there's also, we were encouraged to share our work, and then people don't want to share because they don't want other people judging. So judgment is like a huge part, you know, of this barrier to play. And I'd love to hear more about some of these barriers to play. And curiosity is a really great way to overcome the judgment and this exploration piece. Coming back to that, you know, we were talking about exploration earlier with play. So like, how can people overcome this harsh critical judgment when they're trying to play?
Yeah, I think you have to just do like, be resilient and say, stop. Like stop that voice in your head and just be kind to yourself, to be, you know, like kind of reflect a little bit and get some perspective about what matters most. And again, at the end of the day, what do they say? People aren't going to say, oh, wish I work more. But again, like exploration through play, all the different types of play, there's got to be something that you would like, because there's definitely something for everyone. And I think that once you can kind of get good in one domain, like there is this overlap that, okay, let me try this. Or maybe that's not working, but I'll try something else. So I think having that open mindset, right, that we talk about, that just that where you when you find the judgy coming, you just got to say stop. I mean, it's easier said than done. I think finding friends that lift you up. I know one thing in our book we talk about is the concept of Freudenfreud. And it's about lifting up another person, being like happy for their success. So again, when you invited me to be a guest on your program, I was looking up your accomplishments and your background. And I was like, whoa, I mean, it filled me with joy, right? So that's an example of Freudenfreud. So one thing is even like to get together with friends that support, uplift you. Over COVID, I was part of like 4 mastermind groups, and that really sustained me and lifted me up and propelled me forward in terms of like when we were having a hard time. So I think that's part of it. That social connection that we're talking about all the time now is really powerful. And find people that do that, that inspire you, right? So like, I think that also like through play and through positivity, like you become attractors like Mom Marie was to people, right? So that can really just, again, as Barbara Fredrickson would say, that spiral up of positivity. Mm-hmm. And again, when judgment's too much, it's like what you said earlier, Sonia, it's like an overuse of the strength. Mm-hmm. And again, that, you know, that self-awareness, that mindful awareness, taking a pause.
So what are some other barriers that stop people from playing? And then I want to talk about how we can address those.
Yeah, I was going to say time is probably one. And if it's okay, I mean, to me, one of the things that I find is like in our book, we talk about spontaneous activities. These are fun and spontaneous activities that you can do. And it's great. And I also think, as I said earlier, that planning a date to play, right? Having a picnic, we're going to get together in a couple of weeks and for our meetup day. And go to this beautiful grounds for sculpture. So it's something that fills you up, like to look forward to savoring that experience. And it's called anticipatory savoring, that you're savoring something in advance. But I think that around time that we can also fit in what I like to call micro moments of fitness or movement or play. So if you're going and you're getting a coffee or something, you can just like notice something nice on the person, the barista, you know, you could like there, you know, thank them sincerely. And just like to build up today, I took a water fitness class. It's like something I'm really passionate about. And I'm actually writing a book about that, not to keep promoting, but it's life-changing. And I met a woman and we just started talking and it was just like very playful, very fun encounters. So even in your interactions with people, if you're like home and you just feel like you're going to put on your favorite song, have a little mini dance party, right? Pump out a few like crunches or, you know, like push-ups, you know, anything, even wall push-ups, just change the energy or have a laugh. I think one thing we talk about like with time too, is like to put like a jar together of fun things you might want to try, and then you can pull it out and then think of what things you like. So so time is one barrier. Sorry, I answered both questions.
No, that's great. You know, because with barriers come solutions. And I love that you said it doesn't have to be this thing that's on your calendar that's like so hard to plan and really complicated. Like it can be spontaneous. It can be spontaneous. It can be spontaneous. It doesn't have to take a lot of time. But when you shift your energy just for a few seconds, it changes how you move through the rest of your day because of a spiral that it puts you on, a positive spiral.
You know, it really does. And even what you had said earlier about, you know, smiling at the start line, it's like, I think the smile you send returns to you. And the smile science is the whole thing. You know, it's just like with the musculature, the transverse and oculi, and just, you know, how it really does. And even cross-culturally, like not everybody are big smilers, which is interesting because some of the Scandinavian countries, which report highest on happiness, they don't tend to be as smiley as some people like in other parts of the world. So it's just like, you know, again, respecting, understanding, I think cross culture to look at what people do that brings them joy is really like something else. Like, so again, I think that there's like knowledge kind of can replace some of those like grumpy feelings too, just how good, how good play is for you, how good movement is for you.
So I want to start, just prompt the audience really quick, just to take a second to think in your life, like how can you play more and how can you play in a way that's authentic to you and that's not forced? So I'll leave a second. And then I'd love, Elaine, for you to talk about some of these different domains in the fun tracker. So if the audience, you guys are listening, you're like, well, I don't know. Like you asked me this question. I don't know. Elaine's here to help. And there's a free tool to help you too.
Yeah. I think it's on the powerplay.fun. I think, and I love the question about the authentic, about what's a way to play that's authentic for you. And again, I think that comes across in terms of what we talked about, like appropriateness to play, right? Mm-hmm. Just like, to me, I feel like there's definitely a lot of awe that is around play. And, you know, one thing that I'm really big on is like promoting peace in the world and well-being and just community and individual well-being for people. So I just love stories, you know, storytelling. And one of the stories we talk about is the gentleman who raised money for the National Healthcare Service during COVID. And he pledged to walk 100 laps around his garden for his 100th birthday. And I mean, the outpouring of support on that, you know, and again, using your healthy body to help yourself and others is one area that we talk about. And I know Marie Montessori, in her great work around educating children, talks about how, you know, we don't really teach children about peace and collaboration and cooperation. And I think that's really, really important. So other areas in the book besides, you know, that more hopeful area are around cleaning your house. So it's just, I know my, like I try and smile whenever I'm doing my laundry. It's just like, to me, like I catch myself smiling and I don't know why, which is very strange, but it's not something I hate to do. I think, you know, like it's just like, it's kind of peaceful. It's quiet time. I'm like, okay, I'm grateful for my clothes. You know, having gratitude is like a really big thing. Entertainment is another area where you can like do karaoke. You can have friends over and play some games. You can do like a group sing or join a choir or just different things that you could do, building positive community or just through, as you talked about, like with the humanities, which is so cool. And I do want to see what you made for your art. That's very exciting. I love that. That's a newer course after.
Yeah. I thought I mentioned it cause I thought you might be interested in, this is kind of an aside, but I kind of feel like some of the new courses should be available to previous classes because positive psychology, like this is a scientific field. So the field advances every single year. There's new information every single year. And having access to the newer information, especially, you know, as time goes on, is so helpful because we're all trying to be good stewards of this field and to change the world.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I know Leona Brandwein sent us the syllabus, which is very exciting. But
cool.
To know more, you know, about mm-hmm. what it is. And it's a burgeoning field and it's very important. And again, I love that idea about like promoting what's strong instead of what's wrong in the world, right? Especially like mm-hmm. the lifespan, like help people, support people, lift them up, give them the tools. Around the fun tracker, I think we talk about environmental explorer. So we talk about plogging, which on our beach, I live about 5 blocks from the Atlantic. Where I am, and this weekend there was a big plogging group who were picking up litter and hiking on the beach. So it was just very exciting because wow. it together and beautifies the neighborhood, whether you do gardening or community garden. Another thing is just like around social components. One of my favorite chapters is around celebrations, and we talk about like every month, like to name a celebration. And mm-hmm. I think March is St. Bridget's month. And she was like a patron saint of Ireland. And even though I'm O'Brien, I'm not Irish, but I'm Irish by, I guess, marriage. And she was like the steward for milkmen and for milkmaids and made beer and just like all these like amazing things. So it's just like lots of fun to be able to just, even read about different things like that. I'm like kind of a history buff. So I love that. Not mm-hmm. to learn more.
Yeah. Something else that I was thinking about when you're talking about play, especially karaoke, is like there for some types of play, there almost has to be a tolerance to be okay looking silly. You know, like most people singing karaoke are not amazing at it. They're just having fun. Or, you know, in your play tracker, you said like dance crazy, which I love because I, am quote a terrible dancer, but I'm amazing at dancing crazy. So, you know, So like being okay looking silly, and there's like a humility and a self-confidence that comes with that. So like, have you come across people who just, they just can't, they're just too tight. Like I can't do this. I don't want to look bad in front of other people.
Yeah. That is a really good point. And I love that you're a bad dancer, because I was a terrible dancer. You know, it's just like, it's fun to dance crazy. But I think that, you know, looking, it's situational, right? So maybe it depends on the context a little bit, you know, that where you might let yourself go a little bit more and just be, you know, a little bit more like lighthearted and willing to go out there and try something. What do you think?
I'm hearing like the intentionality is a really big part of this, right? Like I could be out gardening or I could be folding my laundry, but if I'm just doing it without thinking about how this might be fun, and focusing on how this is just this annoying chore that I have to do, like not having that perspective can be challenging. And you've said repeatedly, the social piece of this can be really powerful to help you get out of your own head or to help bring attention to things that you might not have realized. And I'll give you guys a quick example. So pulling weeds sounds like a really boring thing, but I actually now love pulling weeds because I was doing it with my kids to start, and they would be so intrigued by this huge root that would come out of the ground, or like the tool that you get to use. And just seeing the perspective of my children and pulling weeds made me actually enjoy it even when they're not there. So yeah, I'm hearing like the intentionality and perspective shift, especially whenever you're around other people, is really powerful whenever you are maybe struggling to find play in something that you're doing.
What a great gift that was. That reminds me of how positive psychology was founded in the garden. Nikki was digging and I guess splash in the dirt, and he said, you know, quit playing. And she said, why are you so grumpy? But isn't that great that you, the wonderment around like the roots? I mean, that's, you know, I think that's like a really easy solution. If you can get out in nature, like look at the sky. I mean, even if you think about the eclipse, right? People were just like so drawn to just like that natural phenomenon. And it's, you know, it was something that brought people together, and curiosity, like you mentioned, which is a great thing. It's, yeah, nature shifts things in a big way. In my capstone in 2008, I wrote about that, you know, and I know that Holly Passmore, who is speaking about that for, she had spoken at the international conference, and it's just very exciting to see the research around that, because that's something that everybody can enjoy, whether if you're in a hospital, you have a view, right? The science says that you do better. So yeah, I think that's a quick fix. If you're grumpy and or you feel like you're feeling just like you don't want to play, if you just can think about awe, right? The science of awe and the goodness of awe, and just taking a pause to notice. It's just beautiful.
Yeah. And you were saying how, you know, humor falls under the virtue of transcendence, and awe is a self-transcendent emotion that helps you get out of just thinking about me and help you connect with something much bigger than yourself. So that's cool how that's so connected.
It really is, right? And I think that, you know, again, like I've been thinking about this a lot around like with self-care, how that's so important. And I think that, you know, with self-care and other care are related. Like when we can take care of ourselves, then we can serve other people too. So that, and that's awesome. I mean, it's really, I mean, people are awesome. It's pretty amazing. Like if you, I love that about awe being a self-transcendent strength too, right? And along with savoring, noticing, right? That taking a moment. And I think compliments will be another thing. I wrote about that in my research about, again, when you notice something, it just like elevates everything.
You are so good at giving compliments. I'm always just blown away. Like I want to be half as good as she is at giving compliments. It's actually helped me work on it. So thank you for leading by example with that.
Oh, thanks. Well, you know what, in our studies, right, with the active constructive responding, right, that helps a lot, right? That if you're given feedback that is active, like you're engaged, you're being a good listener, and then it's something, you know, instead of like dragging the person down, along with appreciative inquiry, right, asking questions that promote goodness and help elevate people, right, to have a dream and to fulfill their destiny and design, and just to live really on a higher level of well-being, I think. Mm-hmm. I think one thing too, with the power play and movement, it does lay down a foundation for when things aren't going so hot. Like it helps you to be more resilient when things aren't going well. And I think that it really matters, right? To take that time and like to value, like, again, like I can't even imagine like what it would be like to see those ants up the hill and knowing you're on your way up. I mean, it's, you know, it's great. It's a really exciting thing. I'm curious how you got started, but like, and so I would definitely need to research you more.
Well, we can chat off mic, because I want this to be, I want people to hear more about play. And, you know, something I've been thinking about a lot is, you know, a lot of people take their accomplishments seriously. Like, accomplishment is the reason I came to MAP, because people have MAP, the Master's in Applied Positive Psychology. People have a very myopic focus on the thing they're trying to achieve, because they think when they get there, they're going to feel a certain way and their life's going to be a certain way. When really it's in the process itself, it's in the day-to-day actions, it's in those micro moments. That's the process of becoming. It's not in the accomplishment. And, you know, after reading your book and after thinking about a lot of things, it was, you know, self-reflecting about play, like play is almost an antidote for the gravity, like the hard gravity of an outcome, of an accomplishment, because now you're not just so focused on this thing has to be a certain way. It's not set in stone. It's like, there's other things here. Play adds color to the picture whenever you're striving for something. And that makes it part of the work. You know, I like to say the work is the reward, but the rest is part of the work. And the play is also part of the work. It's not separate from the work.
That's fascinating. That, and I know that you're talking on a different level, you know, again, as being a performance, you know, athlete, endurance athlete. So that's very exciting to hear that perspective. And I do think that, like, celebration, right? So, like, is that what you mean? Or can you just like restate that?
Yeah, I think what I mean is that, you know, as you have like your plan, right? People make a goal and they have their plan, they have their all the things that they need to do to get to their goal. A lot of times, number one, I'll make a very easy example. So take cycling, right? It's like, oh, I want to train, or running. I'm going to train for this marathon. I have to run, you know, all these different miles. I might feel pressure to run even more miles because I lack confidence in my process. I might rest less because I feel like I need to continue working. And then I burn out, I get injured, whatever have you happens. But also the play piece of, like, I think it's also a mental shift. It's like you're training, but you're taking the training so seriously and you're taking yourself so seriously that you're not actually having fun while you're training, or you're not doing other things to support your training, like being silly and maybe going out on a wobble board and like falling down and having that be part of balance training as a part of your training, or taking time to do something else that is unrelated to your training, that is fun. And you think, well, it's unrelated to my training, so I shouldn't be spending my time doing this, or it's unrelated to my work, therefore I shouldn't be doing this. So you put all this pressure to work yourself to death, and you forget about rest and play, when those are two things that will highly support your performance and make you actually do better whenever you have to do the actual work part of your goal setting process.
Amen. That you said it perfectly. Yeah, I totally get that. And I think that's why, you know, again, when you are going for like a physical goal, like to cross train, is really valuable, because, you know, maybe it will impact you positively. And again, safety to me is the main thing, form and function. Like, as a kinesiology person, I think that really matters, like to be able to listen to your body when you are doing like a sport type thing. And again, like I said, cross train is really helpful and helps lift your confidence as well as reduces the risk of injury. And I think that you're right, like about like what you said, it's just so true that, you know, like if you just get that, like, I have to go for this. It's, I mean, this is maybe a bad example, but when I was writing my doctoral dissertation on movement, I remember I was sitting and I was just felt like I hadn't moved in days, because I was just like so focused. And I was like, wait a minute, what are you doing? You know, like, go out and have a little fun, move your body. But, you know, you just get like, again, I think that mindful attention, it's like, you can't pay attention to everything. You got to try your hardest to, you know, to just see what matters most to you, you know, in the world. I think it really does. And I think one other thing that inspires people is role modeling. Like, again, like you're a positive role model in the world, and it's like, people want to be like you. So there is that, you know, like that feeling that you don't even know when people are watching you. Today in this class, a woman came up to me and said, "I know you." And I was like, "Oh my God." You know, like, it was like she had just had lunch with like one of my former instructors and dance fitness instructors from years ago. And it's just like so nice. So it's just like, I think, yeah, being more lighthearted, like being focused. I think the character strengths, you've got to do that episode, Sonia, because I think once people can find their strengths and really use them, it really will help you to like whatever you want to achieve in your life, make it matter more.
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah, you're just giving me all these ideas. So thank you. you know, we're talking about play. You were talking about cross training to go along with regular training, but I think a lot of people need more self-complexity. Like they have their identity and their identity fits in a tight little box. There's not a lot of other boxes where their identity fits. And having play, having these different domains of play that you have in your book can add different pieces to somebody's identity. So instead of somebody that I only write books or I only am a cyclist, like they get to engage in a community to do something other than that, so that they can have more pieces to who they are. And that's going to help take the pressure off of them whenever they're in that critical domain.
I love that piece too. I mean, again, like if we look at people and we ask them to write down what roles do you have, like that is exactly a reminder of that. And to be able to play across domains, whether it's at home or, you know, again, outside or just like doing different things, it just gives, if something goes away, at least you have something else to draw back on. And again, that play and movement, I think they lay a foundation for resilience when things aren't so hard. And again, if you can do it across domains, how great would that be?
Yeah.
That's cool.
Well, Elaine, I can't believe we're already out of time. I could talk to you all day about this. And I want to hear more about the PhD work that you did and positive movement. And it sounds like you've really spent a lot of time with older people and helping them. And that's fascinating to me because I want to be like mom, what was her name? Mom Marie, I want to be like her. So thank you. So where can people find your book and find more information about you and the work you're doing?
Oh, thank you, Sonia. So probably on Amazon.com, it's The Power of Play, Optimize Your Joy Potential, Elaine O'Brien and Andrew Seidel. So if you go with The Power of Play O'Brien, you'll find it. And then my website is ElaineO'BrienPhD.com. If anybody wants to call me, that's fine too. Like, I'm just so happy and honored to get to meet you and to be with you. And thank you and your listeners. What a joy.
Thanks so much. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. Don't forget to hit that follow button if you want to catch more episodes. I am very excited about some of our upcoming guests. And it's pretty cool to be part of a new network of people that gives me access to some very brilliant minds. I'm very excited about my racing this summer, and I can't wait to see you all out there. And as always, I'm with you on this journey of personal growth, adventure, and our mission to be better every day. I'll see you right back here next week.